Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, our friend Eric Pincus with the Bleacher Report, who for my money, him and Bobby Marks are just flat out the two best NBA cap strategists in the entire sports media. So we love having him on. He is standing by. And as the trade deadline is coming up 6 days from now, real treat to have him on. But we're not going to make you wait any longer. It is time to give out the keyword that you're going to need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor, which is on March 3rd. You've had all this week, you have all next week, and you have all week after that, three times a day, to win your way in. But there's one more try this week, okay? You're going to need the keyword that we're about to give you. You're going to need to pocket that, hold that, chill with that.
Don't call now.
For a second, and then sometime in the next 25 minutes, you will hear the sounder. Okay, now's when all the people who haven't been listening call. You're not going to win. Don't call. But when you hear that again, have the keyword Oracle with you. That is today's keyword, Oracle. The contest line to call when you hear the sounder again is 415-523-4652. So keep the keyword Oracle and the phone number 415-523-4652. Keep those two things handy. And then when we play the sounder again, the first person to call in with the correct keyword is the winner to claim spot number 15 in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor, March 3rd. So keep listening. One more time, the keyword is Oracle. Okay? All right. Off we go to the River Islands guest line, out to our friend with the Bleacher Report and one of the best NBA cap strategists out there, Eric Pincus, joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Eric, what's going on?
Oh, you know, doing well, hoping that I can be an oracle ahead of the trade deadline.
Yeah, exactly. that would be great. I think that's what Warrior fans are sort of expecting. What would be your overarching sort of view of the Warriors, hard capped, second apron, the contracts they have? Like, how would you describe their maneuverability over the next 6 days?
I mean, they're pretty flexible. It's not overwhelmingly flexible. It's not like they're a team that has massive flexibility. But they are below the first apron. They have they don't have hard restrictions like most teams do. However, they can't climb over that first apron. So any move that the Warriors make can't really add salary. And you have to remember, you have to get back to 14 players. So if you trade half the roster, which I know that, you know, how the fans are, you want to go trade for everybody and everything, you got to get back to 14, and you have to stay under the first apron to do so. But, you know, they have some flexibility. I think they have to make a decision long term on Jonathan Kuminga and whether or not he's a guy they're going to reinvest in. And if the answer is no, then maybe he is a key piece in whatever transpires.
Eric, what if the answer is yes and the Warriors are set on trying to acquire a big name, therefore big money? Say it's Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine. And say Jimmy Butler were to opt in, you have multiple years of Zach LaVine. If the Warriors are interested in keeping Jonathan Kuminga around long-term, which means signing him to an extension this offseason, are they able to do that with a big contract like Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine also on the roster?
Well, the can is, of course, yeah, absolutely. Once you have the rights to a player, you can just spend and spend. The hard part is when you want to acquire someone else's players. That's where these restrictive rules come in. So if you take care of business now and you say you're going to keep Kuminga, you're going to trade pieces to get a big dollar player, of course, you can pay it. But what is the price for Kuminga? That goes into the decision making, and I'll just throw out a number, and I don't know what he'll get, but let's say it's $30 million, and it might be $20 million, it might be some other number, but let's say it's $30 million. They're very quickly getting closer and closer to these aprons next year, but it's not prohibitive. I mean, if you have the team that you like, for instance, the Celtics really like their team, and they're over that apron, it's worthwhile. So if the Warriors can buy into something they believe in, then you do it. I just don't know if that's going to be available in the next week.
Okay, that's really, really interesting. So it's not completely preventative of Jonathan Kuminga, but let's dive in on Zach LaVine. Eric, you know this. No one would touch that contract for the last year and a half. Now we're hearing a lot about Zach LaVine, and I'm curious because we're hearing so much about it. I'm having a hard time buying that suddenly other NBA teams want that contract that badly. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you sort of answered a little of it in that it's a year and a half shorter than it was a year and a half ago. You know what I mean? So
right.
Bad contracts gradually become movable contracts. Like Ben Simmons arguably had one of the worst contracts in the world, or at least in the league, and now he's expiring, and it's not really, no one talks about Ben Simmons right now. Zach has this year, and he has next year at about 46, and then he has an option at about 49. So he's this year plus two more. By the way, he also has a trade bonus. So he would basically be bumped up to the max salary. I have to look at the exact numbers, but let's call it, he basically would climb to about a max. He can waive that bonus, and I would suggest that if the Warriors are going to get him, if they're probably going to need him to waive that. And so I don't know his willingness. I can't speak for him. But if you want to join the Warriors, Zach, you probably got to waive that bonus, because at that point it becomes even more challenging for the Warriors to get back just to 14 players. It makes the numbers very, very difficult just from a practical point of view. But Zach has always been a good player. How much has he impacted winning in his NBA career? Not much. But then also he was, you know, drafted into a bad situation. Let's see, what he was with the Wolves when they were bad? Is that what it was? And then he was with the Bulls, and he didn't choose the Bulls. I'm trying to remember his path. Basically, he wanted to go to Sacramento, signed an offer sheet, and the Bulls matched, and then they paid him. So he's never been in a good situation. Is it because of him, or is it because the Bulls haven't put a good team around him? And that he's always been hurt the last few years with some knee injuries, that really hurt his value as well. So when he was hurt, his value and the contract, sheesh. But he's been very productive this year, and it's a risk. Problem is, are you buying into Zach LaVine at a high, and then you turn around and in another year or maybe in a month, he's back to some of these knee issues? That's why teams that tend to be risk averse look at that contract and say, there's no way I'm going to go make that risk. Whereas the Warriors, who are struggling, maybe that's motivation. And the fact that his contract is only two additional years, and it does time specifically with Steph Curry's, as long as the investment isn't beyond Steph, then they can have tried. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't work, you just celebrate the last couple of years of Steph's career as a mediocre team, which is where you are right now.
Interesting, Eric. I've spent a lot of the show here today talking about how if I were the Warriors, I'd be trying as hard as I possibly could to acquire someone like Cam Johnson. And I've been singing his praises and I'm getting a bunch of questions. Well, if he's such a great player, why are the Nets interested in trading him away? And the way I've been answering the question is, well, partly they might not be terribly interested in winning basketball games this year, but they also want to get expiring or short-term money in return so they can kind of reset and obviously picks as well. Similar for the Heat, who are trying to get off the money of Jimmy Butler in exchange for expiring or short-term money. Has the new CBA impacted the value of expiring deals? It feels like it's so much more important now for these teams to be wary about big contracts, and they might be willing to maybe trade away talent just for the sake of getting off of that money entirely. Is that true with the new CBA?
I would say that's always been true. I don't think that's more true or less true. Expiring contracts were, when I first started doing this, were everything. And then at some point, they had some tricky stuff with some non-guaranteed contracts. And there's things like trade exceptions. And there's all these different tools that teams have that they can use to manipulate the system, to get out of money, to get into money. So you've seen forever teams that are rebuilding, getting out of veterans and trading into expiring contracts, shorter contracts. But like the Sixers, they took on JaVale McGee when he had 2 years left and a lot of money. And for them, it was worthwhile. And the Thunder have done similar things where they've taken on multi-year or expiring contracts. The Spurs have done it recently. It's just a very kind of the Pistons took on Joe Harris last year from the Nets. So it's very common. And it's always been common. It's more important now for the teams at the highest tiers of spending to be aware of what they're spending. There are some additional restrictions that you have to be aware of. You have to work around. But half the league is under the tax. So most of the teams don't even have to worry about aprons. But how many times have the Grizzlies paid the tax, or the Hawks or the Pelicans? I can go down the list. Like, there's a lot of teams that just don't pay tax. Right. So I don't want to say that it's change the landscape to the point of, things are so hard now because there's a lot of complaints about that. Yet we've had a ton of trades all year. We've already had four or five trades. I think we're seeing very fluid activity. We're seeing a lot of teams that are in these upper tiers, like the Knicks and some of these other teams that are making moves that are in restrictive territory, but are able to, even the Lakers, have been very restricted. They just got Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton, et cetera. So, but I do think from the Cam Johnson point of view, for one, he's like a $27 million player, even though he doesn't look like it because of his incentives. And you have to count those incentives against your aprons.
Oh, that's interesting.
So he's actually more expensive than you might think. And then I would suggest you take a look at his games played per year. It's not great. He's like a 50 game a year guy. And is he having a wonderful season because he's on a team with no responsibility in terms of winning, where he can just go out and ball, and if he sits a game, no one even notices? He's having a great year. He's a nice player. But, I wonder if he's where I would go if I was Golden State, just based on the injury history. Jimmy, at least Jimmy has gotten a team to the finals. You're going to have to pay Jimmy immediately, and he's going to want 3 years. So it may or may not make sense, but at least you know what Jimmy can take you to. But Jimmy has also hurt a lot, and he's about like 35 or so. So I don't see a perfect solution for the Warriors. There is no perfect. I would say that the trade deadline for most teams is a menu of yuck. you just pick the least awful option, or you do nothing. And sometimes doing nothing isn't going to satisfy the owners of the team, isn't going to satisfy the fan base. So you make the best deal available that you can live with. You just don't get to pick and choose everything you want, because that's just not what other teams are willing to do.
Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report, with us here, 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibbs. Whether it's Cam Johnson, and our focus is kind of on him today, but in general, teams like Brooklyn who might be willing to deal. As you know, we get a lot of callers who are like, give them this and give them that. I wonder if you could speak to this. Would a team like that essentially want expiring contracts and draft capital, and that's it? Like, they don't really want good players necessarily in return. Is that accurate?
I mean, it could be. They may want a Kuminga type because they have – if you look at this summer – this is a reason why the Warriors could also choose to keep Kuminga. No one has money. The Nets have money. The Wizards have money. And then after that, maybe the Spurs or the Pistons have like 20-ish. Those only two teams have enough to give Kuminga the kind of offer. And the Wizards are not in a position to make Kuminga the kind of offer based on where they're at. They're just not going to – that's not what the Wizards going to do. So really the only team that might go after Kuminga who can actually get him is the Nets. And so then from that point of view, if the Nets don't want him and if the Warriors negotiate that now and realize they don't want him, they should feel pretty comfortable that they'll be able to re-sign him with all the leverage, or maybe he takes a one-year deal. Which is a qualifying offer amount, which is a very low deal, which doesn't make sense from my point of view. If I'm Kuminga, I wouldn't want to risk that. I would want to find a compromise. Or if you know that the Nets are really interested, now the Warriors are like, okay, we're probably going to lose him, or they're going to make him an offer we don't want to match, so you might as well trade him. So I think that's like the crux of it. And then if you know that they don't want him, well, then fine. They're going to want draft capital. They're going to want contracts that don't go on too long. But I don't think that's 100% prohibitive, because you have small contracts that can be multiple year that maybe aren't as offensive. So obviously Gary Payton II they can't get Dennis back because they sent him to the Warriors in the first place. So that wouldn't be legal. But Looney is on an expiring. And then, you know, Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson, specifically Buddy. Buddy's contract is guaranteed at $9 million next year, but the next year it's a very low guarantee. It's a very friendly, team-friendly contract. That kind of is the exception to the rule. Could I see the Nets being willing to take on Buddy in a complex deal that got them enough? Probably so. Or maybe reroute him to a third team. I try not to think in terms of just two teams anymore. It used to be like 10, 15 years ago, I'd come up with a three-team deal, and I'd talk to an executive, and they'd be like, oh, you're being too aggressive. I'm like, that's not realistic. And nowadays, it's really not a requirement, but it's really a necessity. If anything, these new rules have sort of increased the volume of multi-team trades just to make stuff legal under these complex parameters.
Yeah, speaking of multi-team deals, I would imagine any Jimmy Butler deal is going to be that. How do you see that playing out? Obviously, a big factor in that is Bradley Beal's no trade clause. It seems like the Suns are maybe the most motivated team in trying to get Jimmy Butler, but Bradley Beal has to make that work. How do you see the Jimmy Butler situation unfolding?
Well, I mean, just find me a home for Bradley Beal, and then we can talk. And I could suggest maybe Chicago, if they got out of Zach LaVine, and they could say, okay, it's relatively comparable. But all Bradley Beal has to do is say, I don't want to go to Chicago, and then it's dead. And so from the point of view of obstruction, maybe the Suns getting Jimmy Butler is a long shot at this point. Because it has the most obvious no. It just takes a no from any party. You do a two-team, three-team, four-team trade, and it gets very complex, and you just have one no that can blow things up. Well, this is a big one. You know, maybe he would go to the Bucks because you have a chance to compete with Giannis and Dame, but at the same time, I don't know that they want to make that change. So, and then also, I think the Bucks, if they could get Jimmy, they would get Jimmy over Beal in the first place. So why would they help the Suns get Beal, or rather Jimmy, and take Beal when they would rather have Jimmy? So it gets very complicated. And again, it's a deadline. You have a bunch of people all across the league who are competing against each other. You have ownership groups that run these teams that are also divided and are not always on the same page as their leadership. It gets so hard to get a deal across. And then when you have four or five teams and you have Bradley Beal, who can just say no. I wouldn't say that the Suns are the likely outcome. I know they want him. I know Jimmy wants to go there because they're willing to pay him. But you know, all Bradley Beal has to do is just say, I don't want to do that, and it's over.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get it. Hey, Eric, this is phenomenal stuff. We love having you on. Thank you so much for doing it today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report, NBA capologist. Did that take any of the wind out of your sails when he's like Cam Johnson?
Yeah, he's trying to pour cold water on my Cam Johnson idea.
He really did, because he's like a 50-game-per-year guy.
Well, and he also let us know that his salary, for all intents and purposes, for trying to make a trade work, isn't 22, it's 27.
No problem.
He's got to get $5 extra million there.
No problem.
But you can make that work.
Sure.
But he was also turned off at Cam Johnson, the player.
Well, okay.
Like, or his availability, at least.
Yeah, for example, if you do need to get to 27 to make that deal work instead of 22, if Kevon Looney is 8 and Kyle Anderson is 8 and GP2 is 9, you're damn close already right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're
still
damn
make
close.
It work.
Yeah. You put in a TJD or something like that and you're there. And I do think that, if we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler and Zach LaVine, then you can get to 27.
The point of the Cam Johnson, for me at least, is because you get to hold on to Andrew Wiggins.
You get to hold on to Wiggins and
Wiggins is the big belt.
Exactly.
The big building block for any of the other deals.
Have you looked? Do you know how many times in his career Cam Johnson has played more than 65 games?
Is it only like once?
It is only once, and it was 66. He has never played 70 games in his career. He has never started more than 47 games in his career. And those numbers that we are throwing out there, they're accurate. But Eric is, just to play devil's advocate for a second, these numbers are way higher this year than they have been in some past years. I mean, he is 6 points per game higher than what he was just a year ago.
Yeah, he's having a career year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you could argue breakout, because this is also one of the first times in his career where when he plays, he's a starter. He starts every game. And he has started 35 games this year when we're only about 45 to 50 in. So, yeah, this might be the year again. That's not perfect. He's missed a few games. But, again, he's playing on a team that's not trying to do anything. You always wonder, how would it look different if you move into a completely different culture?
Yeah, like, do you remember Lauri Markkanen at the end of last year when I remember the conversation in the offseason, I was big on the Warriors trying to acquire Lauri Markkanen.
Yep.
And I ran into a number of people who kept telling me, well, look at how many games he played this past year. I forget how many it was, but he didn't play a full season and it wasn't particularly close. We forget the Jazz were trying to lose basketball games, and they would hold Lauri Markkanen out for any little minor bump and bruise,
yep.
And as a result, it looks like he wasn't healthy all year when he never dealt with anything serious.
Yeah, exactly right.
Oh!
Okay, y'all, there it is. That's the sounder. Right now, you need to call the contest line. Hopefully, you've got that keyword in your hip pocket. The contest line, if you don't have that, is 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. We are releasing the hounds. The first person to call in with the correct keyword on that contest line is in to the knockout tournament coming up on the Chase Center floor Monday, March 3rd. Again, call right now. Contest line 415-523-4652. Best of luck. And if you don't get it this time, your next chance to win is going to be Monday morning with the all-new roast, by the way. All the Joes.
A couple of Joes.
Shaskies and the Spadonis. Starting on Monday morning and throughout the week, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. That's true every day next week. It's true every day the week after that as well. So we are only a third of the way through our process. This winner that we're about to find out is contestant number 15, and there will be 45 spots given out. So try right now and keep on trying, and thank you so much for listening. We look forward to meeting a handful of you on the Chase Center floor. All right, Grandy in for Dibs. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Let's circle back to a couple of things. And first of all, it's the idea of how much as we approach the trade deadline, how much juice is really in the orange this year for the Warriors. But what I know a lot of you really wanted to talk about, and we even got a text, stop throwing Looney into trade machines. He's a champ. Don't do that. And it's like, right, but he's an expiring contract. I know you'd rather give up Buddy Hield, but Looney is much more attractive to an acquiring team. I just think you have to keep that into account. What does the other team want to do? Or else you're not going to be able to get something done. So are you emotionally ready to move on from Kevon Looney? And then alongside that, to have some fun in honor of Kevon, your favorite Bay Area athletes who never really did anything statistically great. We'll take calls on all of that. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibbs.